from stpetecatalyst.com.
Joining me in the Catalyst studio today is the founder of Malwarebytes, Marcin Kleczynski.
Yeah, you got it right.
Did I do it?
Yeah, you did.
Sweet. All right, we're off to a strong start. Welcome. It's good to catch up.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you.
So we're going to do an origin story today, which I'm pretty excited about because there's a lot of cool factor in how you started. Can you give us a quick overview of where Malwarebytes stands today as far as its place in the antivirus universe?
Yeah, so started the company actually quite young. I think I was maybe 15 years old at the time and had one of those white Dells that everybody had under their desk at my parents' house and loved to pirate video games, really my only hobby at the time. And all of a sudden, viruses are coming up on the computer. So downloaded a pirate video game, here we are, and didn't know what to do. And this is when malware and ransomware was pretty boring. I mean, we're talking about a purple gorilla jumping around your screen trying to sell you stuff, right? Today, we're talking about far more sophisticated actors, but didn't know what to do. And I looked up my symptoms like WebMD online and I found a security message board. And to me, these were really superheroes out there in the world trying to help me fix my computer. I mean, I just posted my question and they said, hey, let us help you. And really, that's how Malwarebytes got started. That's how we just got on the scene.
At this point, then, you were living in Chicago?
Yeah, so I'm in Bensonville, which is
Bensonville. Okay.
The airport pretty much took that whole city out. But yeah, I'm living with my parents in Bensonville.
And if I read correctly, it was a shared computer. So you were not only kind of hosing your own computer, that you were hosing your parents' computer if you had the virus on there. And so you were pretty determined to fix it.
Oh, well, my mother was pretty determined to make me fix it. So.
Do you remember the name of the board that you found?
Yeah, it was a little message board called spywareinfo.com.
Spywareinfo. Yeah. And there was just a group of people in there. And this is back in the days when it was a web-based at that point and you know, sort of somewhere where you're just leaving messages and was there chat built into it or anything like that?
Yeah, it was web-based, 2004, right?
2004,
so,
yeah.
So it was just simple message board at the time. And
my first chat rooms were Telnet, you know, back in the day when there's, you know, you'd have to, you know, Unix command everything.
No, it was stuff. a little further along.
So they were able to get you out of trouble there and it took a couple of days, but you solved the virus. At some point there, you started to make the transition to thinking that this is something you wanted to get further into. Do you remember when you've now established these relationships in the forum, you've cleaned the virus off your computer. What happens then as far as why did you keep going down that road at that point?
Yeah, well, to your point, it took 3 days and we had one of the traditional antivirus products on the computer. We were paying for it and yet still got infected. So what's that all about?
Yeah.
So after 3 days of getting help, and really, I truly believe these people were superheroes. In fact, many of the original kind of members of the company came from these message boards. The person that first helped me remove the malware manually, handed me a 30-page pamphlet that took 3 days to follow. She actually works for us today. I have not met her. So Mika is still in Belgium.
Wow.
And we have not met. So she's our director of threat research working for our VP of threat research, but I've never met her.
I mean, that's very unusual that you've never met her now. And I don't think you ever can at this point. You just pretty much got to dial and say,
I guess you got to, keep it going, right?
Yeah, keep it going. So out of that then, you solved it. You got the pamphlet. What then led you into wanting to build a business around it or even to explore this world more?
Well, first of all, the welcoming community. The people that were on these message boards were welcoming. And I too wanted to be that superhero.
Right.
Right. And so some of that passion of just fighting cybercrime really started to spark. And I saw how helpful these people were. And I wanted to be that person. So I picked up a few programming books at the time, Visual Basic 6 for Dummies. Great read. I'd highly recommend. Okay. And started to program a bit and said, listen, let me try to automate some of these 30 pages of instruction. There's a huge opportunity here. Traditional antivirus is failing. I'm evidence of that.
Right.
Other people on this message board are evidence of that.
Right.
And the problem was huge. So actually, from the same message board, as I'm building these little freeware applications, one of these superheroes said, hey, I've got a great idea. Why don't I give you a domain name, malwarebytes.biz? And I went, that's a terrible name. Here we are.
Can you explain, before we go down that road, Norton and McAfee, why were they failing and what were they missing that you ended up picking up?
Yeah, it's a very complicated question and an answer, I suppose. Traditional antivirus has been around since the 80s, right? And the way to catch viruses since the 80s is to first see them, fingerprint them, identify them, ship those fingerprints to all of your customers and react.
Right.
Today, the world we live in, and it really started in the 2000s, malware and viruses, and really it's synonymous at this point, have become polymorphic, meaning you and I go to the same website,
right?
We're infected with the same type of malware, but it's very, very polymorphic. It's changing. It's very different between you and I, even though it does the same thing.
Hmm.
So to fingerprint that malware, first of all, you're already behind.
Right.
And now you're trying to fingerprint something that's constantly changing and morphing, like a real human virus.
Right.
So these criminals, these malware writers, have built in automation, AI, into the morphing of this malware. So how can you possibly ship billions of signatures, fingerprints? You can't.
And so then you were the first really to look at predictive and looking at the patterns and not relying on the fingerprint model.
I think patterns is a really great word to describe that. That was really the genesis of how we were better. We were able to ship, you know, one such fingerprint that would identify the entire strain of malware, no matter how much it changed.
Right.
Today, that's even evolved further. We're doing a lot of artificial intelligence and machine learning on goodware and badware. So good files and bad files,
right,
and trying to detect malware. And there's some predictive things you can think of. For example, a lot of malware on your computer are small files, not big files.
Right.
And these are the types of things that we're really trying to understand, like a real human virus too.
So how much malware gets by? I mean, how much exists on computers today that nobody knows about, would you guess?
So it actually, you bring up a really good transition into what Malwarebytes started with. No antivirus, even Malwarebytes, and I don't know if we call ourselves antivirus as much as endpoint security or cybersecurity, but no antivirus can catch everything. Even if you get to the 99.99% range, you're still talking about millions of files out there that are malicious. You're talking about things that don't even have files anymore, that just infect you directly from the browser. The world is dangerous. It's getting harder and harder to catch these criminals. So nothing's going to ever detect everything,
right?
No vaccine is permanent. No antibiotic is permanent. So we started in the game of remediation, which means when I was infected, I went to this message board, you know, Norton or McAfee, let the threat onto my computer, and I had to follow all of these manual instructions and run 50 tools to disinfect that computer. And so the first thing Malwarebytes, as I saw it, we would do is disinfect automatically, remediate. So we're going to go fix your problem first. And by fixing your problem first, we can then plant a seed that your AV sucks, your antivirus sucks,
yep,
and Malwarebytes can do it better or can augment your antivirus. So we really became that wingman,
yep,
the one that comes in, saves the day, and then bolts on to your traditional antivirus. Now, a lot of that has changed today, but that's really the genesis of the company.
I remember that was very clever because you weren't then trying to compete directly with them. You were a natural companion to them. And before you knew it, you're doing better than they were, and then why need them?
Absolutely. It was a Trojan horse. And in fact, a lot of these traditional antivirus companies in their customer chat would recommend our product.
Wow.
And that got very interesting, right?
Very sweet.
Because when we struck, we struck hard.
So in that group, you know, you made acquaintances, friends, I mean, now even co-founders and employees, and a lot of them, you know, pretty far into the company, you didn't meet them. And so you just had this distributed sort of company. So it was, you were given the domain name. At this point, you know, had you formed the company structure? You know, did you have an LLC? And if not, when did that happen? And then whose name was kind of on that? And how did the actual first sort of founders and employees come to be?
Yeah, no way. I didn't even know what an LLC was. So here's this 17-year-old kid living in Bensonville, Illinois. You know, he's going to college in a year and has this Malwarebytes.biz domain name, hates the name, but it was free and is building some, you know, free tools as well. And I meet a guy named Bruce on this message board. And Bruce is really just helping out just like everybody else, but in particular, sending me malware samples that look interesting and saying, again, this is, you know, nerding out right now.
Please
but,
do, yeah.
You know, he's sending me malware samples going, hey, you're not detecting this. Right. And I asked him a lot of questions like, who are you? Where are you from? So I found out that he's just this guy in Boston, you know, working at a tech repair shop. So all day long, computers are coming in,
mm-hmm,
and they're infected with something. And they all have traditional antivirus. And he's sending me the samples of all these computers that traditional antivirus missed.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, wow, this is really cool. You're really smart. Why don't we build an anti-malware product together that really tackles this problem? The high prevalence malware out there that's really hurting the users and is getting by traditional antivirus. And he just said yes. So for the next year, you know, we're building this Malwarebytes company. And imagine telling your mom, you know, you're 17 at the time, you're just working with some like 30-year-old guy on the web. And imagine him telling his wife, like, I'm working with this 17-year-old kid. Yeah. So needless to say, we hadn't met until a couple years later.
Wow.
But 2008 rolls around, we build the product, we launch the product and shove it to these message boards. And they're all automating this 30-page pamphlet from before.
All coming off that one pamphlet, really.
Yeah, I call it a pamphlet, you know, list of instructions, whatever you want to call it. But why give somebody that's in need of help that when you could just say, go run Malwarebytes and do a couple of other things?
Right. When did the actual company form? Was it at that point was it formed?
Yeah, so January 21st, 2008, we launched Malwarebytes, what we call anti-malware.
Right.
And it was just Bruce and I, and we don't know what to do with the money. We, you know, so...
And it was a decent amount of money right off the bat. Yeah,
it was. So by August, we had made maybe $250,000, which is no joke, right? In 6 months' time, all from this buy now button, help support Malwarebytes because we helped you. $25 perpetual license. And even to this day, the people that bought that still have the product for $25. So what a bargain.
I'm one of them.
Awesome. So in June, we, you know, created the LLC, got a real lawyer involved. And I guess that's the formal introduction of the company. But what's even more interesting is in August, I'm due at the University of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And this is some serious cash coming in. I mean, of course, we're investing it in the company. And but, you know, I see a future here. And anyway, I told my mom that, you know, maybe I'm not going to go. And it was computer science down there in August. And 45 seconds later, I'm heading down there. She's packing my stuff. So attended the university for 4.5 years.
Oh, okay. So, go mom, I guess.
Yeah, go mom. I don't regret it. I mean, I think, you know, just meeting friends and all that.
So when did you actually meet Bruce in person for the first time?
So I met Bruce in person probably late 2008. So probably 2 years after we started working together, 3 years after we started working together, 1 year after we launched the product. And at that point, probably $1 million in.
Wow. And had you, I mean, like seen a picture of him on the website? What was that first meeting like?
I don't remember that, but the first meeting was so anticlimactic. It was like, hey, Bruce, hey. Like shake hands and so how's it going? You know, it was a very, because we knew each other, right? It felt like that.
There's always the internet, you know, weirdness too when you talk to someone so much on the internet and then you meet them for the first time in life. But I guess it's, you know, it's a business relationship and you guys were rolling and probably had a lot to celebrate.
So. Yeah, no, totally.
That's cool. So how much were you able to grow the company while you were also in school? And did Bruce sort of step in and do more while you were in school? Or what was sort of the growth trajectory then with you being in school after that initial launch?
Yeah, so I spent a lot of time building this company out of the University of Illinois. At the same time, I had Bruce as a co-founder, obviously.
Yeah.
He was working 15, 16 hour days. You know, I was trying to put in as much as I could.
Yeah.
He was our head of threat research. You know, I was doing a lot of engineering work and the product was practically selling itself at the time. We also had another co-founder, Doug Swanson, who himself has an interesting story, was a PhD student at Princeton and master's at Yale and so on in physics, right? So super smart guy. And, again, the way we met was he built something really cool for this message board. I really wanted that part of our product. We agreed on he'd get 30% of the profits. And after, you know, a couple of weeks, he's like, this looks like drug money. Just make me a partner. So he looked at it, you know, futuristically like, hey, let's go build a great company. I'm not in this for the money. We're here to help the world. And really, the three founders were pretty altruistic in that and still are. So, you know, I was really involved in building the company, living in a dorm room at the time. And my fourth co-founder was a guy out in California. And that's why the company's based out of California.
Okay.
He was introduced to me as somebody that can help with operations while I'm, you know, obviously at the university. So he was really customer facing. He was helping us build out a sales team because we started getting dragged into corporates trying to buy our product. So the four of us really, in that first year and a half, 2 years, were really the core team.
Right.
And I was at the university, obviously.
So they staggered a little bit as they came in, but you still all consider them, there's all called themselves co-founders.
Yeah, they were staggered, but really that is the founding team, right? And each were very unique. I mean, each all had superpowers, right? That helped build the business.
That's wonderful. We have a great brand, a great company. I appreciated you sharing your story. It was really cool. And I wish you the best of luck going forward and we'll keep watching.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
From stpetecatalyst.com.